To introduce to you Mario Freitas. Mario has been, and his family, at a missionary home in, where was this home, Mario? In Clementon, Jones Stomping Grounds. And it's a wonderful missionary home. I believe your nephew stayed there. But you know what? They have so many eager to get there, and when your time is up, you've got to find another place to stay. And so we came to the attention of their need through Phil Henry of Mercy Hill Presbyterian Church, where you've been serving as Minister of Missions and preaching there. And so we were encouraged. You remember the Henrys stayed here at our old manse for a time. And what a great joy to hear once again children in the old manse, the squeals of delight. And the pounding of little feet on the floor and upstairs. And it's been a real joy to have Mario and his family with us. Brother, you come and bring the word of God to us.
Good morning. For me, it's a great joy, great privilege to be here this morning. I don't even know how to start. We are so moved, so touched by the love of this church. Most of you I'm meeting for the first time, but we have been, well, you have been well represented by Pastor Mike and Susie as they host us and at the manse. So my family is just so grateful. What happened is we didn't know what was going to happen to our family in terms of our plans. We came here for the first year to start an office of the organization that we work with, More International. And then our visa took a little long to come through, our religious visa, religious work visa. And we just didn't know. We could have had to go to Brazil now in the summer to renew the visa, but by the grace of God, we didn't need to because it was all given to us while we're here. However, the missionary homes where we lived couldn't wait for an answer. So at the end of the day, we didn't have a place. We were moving to North Carolina, but we found out that for paperwork reasons as well, we're not able to move for another year at least. So we're actually looking for a house in New Jersey. So every day we go, you know, to the places we're more used to. We're not looking for a specific town or neighborhood or anything, but I serve at Mercy Hill Presbyterian. My kids go to a Reformed Christian classical school that blessed us with scholarships. So we're so blessed since we came to this country. Just a lot of blessings to this missionary family. So it's a great honor. I'll be talking more about more during Sunday school. So I will not do this right now. All I want to mention a little bit, assuming that most of you don't know much, is about the Presbyterian Church of Brazil. The Presbyterian Church of Brazil exists. We are a baby comparing to the Presbyterian Church in America as a whole, you know, not considering all the history, the most recent history, the PCA and all that. But we were planted by Presbyterian missionaries in 1859. Which means that just this building is older than the whole denomination there. So we don't have like a very vast history. However, we are 4,800 local churches, 263 presbyteries, 3,800 pastors, and 415,000 members in the country. And we are the oldest Presbyterian denomination. There are five or six that I know of, just like here, different situations. But we are part of the Presbyterian Church of Brazil, this one that was established in 1859. So it is an honor just to be here and to fellowship with the PCA, which became our church in the United States. So I want to invite you to open up your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2. And we are going to talk about our citizenship in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22 says this: "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the prophet and of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Let me just say another word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this moment. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will bring your revelation to us at this time. We recognize that we cannot understand the scriptures properly, just in an intellectual way. So we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and meet us right now as we need to be transformed by your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So, citizenship. Many of you probably didn't have the opportunity that me and my family are having of being foreigners in a country for a long time as residents. Maybe many of you went to another country to visit, but you never had to live there, which is a very different mindset. I've been to a few countries because of the missionary work that I do. I lived in China for a few years. I traveled 59 countries doing the same kind of work. But most of the countries I went to, I didn't have to live there. So if I didn't like something, I knew that in a few days I'll be out of there and that was all good. But when you live, you come into a situation that you are a stranger. I'm not talking about the sermon doesn't mention politics, migration issues. That's not the point. We are pretty much using the biblical metaphor of citizenship. But I want to talk about this, about citizenship. So I am a Brazilian citizen. I live in the United States with my family, legally working for one specific type of work that we are bound to do, which is religious work, meaning we are not allowed to work doing something else other than this. There are Brazilians like me that come to the States to work, and then after some time, a few years, that could happen to us, you can be granted a green card, which means you have a lot of rights similar to the citizens, but you're still not a citizen. And then some Brazilians that I know, using our case, some Brazilians that I know, they decide for some reason to become citizens of the United States after a few years having the green card. I know Brazilians that have been here, even pastoring churches for 20 years, and they said, I'm all good with the green card. I don't need to become a citizen of the United States. I'm a Brazilian citizen, but I'm allowed to live in a normal life here. But some will become citizens of the United States in a situation that we call dual citizenship. They're both Brazilian and American. But here's the thing. I doubt, to be very honest with you, and this is just an illustration, that most of my Brazilian friends who are American citizens at this point would die for the United States of America. And I'm being very honest. I doubt that they would die for Brazil, to be honest. But I want you to understand that to be a citizen can mean a lot of things. At least we could consider there are degrees of citizenship, even though for the government, once someone is a citizen, he's just a citizen like everybody else. But there's a mindset issue, there's a heart issue that I really believe has to be built. It is nothing that you just pledge and you just receive some document and all of a sudden you are wholeheartedly the citizen of a new country. I don't believe it's that way. I really believe that to be wholeheartedly committed to your citizenship, you need to understand what that means. You need to be taught. Something that we really like about America comparing to Brazil, once again, just an illustration, is how people here value their country since childhood. My kids go to school, and they go to school and they learn a lot about the United States in a way that they wouldn't learn a lot about Brazil and about how to value Brazil if they went to a Brazilian school back home. So the kids are being built into being American citizens, and that's a really good thing. What I believe, though, is when we talk about the kingdom of God, which in Paul's metaphor here, he's referring to us as citizens of the kingdom, the same kind of thing happens. We need to build it. We need to strengthen it. It's not that we just accept it and we get baptized and we do what everybody does, and okay, we're just citizens. I really believe that there is a path, a degree of how serious that citizenship can be. Pastor was reading the shorter catechism, and he mentioned monergism, which is this perspective that only Christ can do the work without any type of help from our part regarding justification and adoption. He does that alone. There's nothing we do about that. But when we talk about sanctification, which is when we build our citizenship, then we are part of that. That depends on Him, but there is synergy in that process. He does all the work of justification alone. He does all the work of adoption alone. But when it comes to the work of sanctification, we are partners with that, because He does the work through the Holy Spirit, but we gotta do our part in living as we're supposed to live. And that is building our citizenship. So the text that we have in front of us right now talks about that. It starts by mentioning that we are no longer strangers. We are now citizens with the saints. That's verse 19. And then in verse 20 it says, built on the foundation of the apostles. Verse 21 keeps talking about this building perspective. It talks, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple, grows. And verse 22 says again, in Him you are also being built together. Actually, the word here in Greek, oikos, related to building, to a physical construction, appears in this text somehow six times, just in these three verses. Different words here that carry the particle oikos. So this passage is about citizenship, but it's definitely about something that is being built, something that is being developed. And as I said, it's not just a matter of having a paper. It's not just a matter of being something because our family always were that. No, it is a matter of not being content with just having the paperwork of a citizen, but saying, I will go all the way to be the kind of citizen the Bible wants me to be. I will build into that. I will develop into becoming a citizen the way the Lord wants me to become. So this is the idea. Actually, we have a lot of Christians, unfortunately, that do not understand that. They just think that to be Christians is some kind of label, as to be a citizen is some kind of paperwork. And there's nothing we need to do about that because Jesus already did the work. It's right, he already did the work. But the Bible wouldn't talk so much about developing it and about sanctification if we didn't have a part in that. There are other Christians that they do even worse. They manage to live some kind of dual citizenship regarding the kingdom, which is not possible. As I mentioned, I lived in China for almost 4 years as a missionary back in 99. And China, I don't know how it is now, but back then at least, they didn't allow dual citizenship. You could get naturalized into a Chinese, but then you had to give up your previous citizenship, and now you're only Chinese. So, see, in terms of politics and in terms of migration, I do not necessarily work with that, but in terms of the Bible, that is so true. The citizenship doesn't allow us to remain with the old citizenship. We were taken out of one kingdom and we were brought into another kingdom. And that's what Paul is talking about. And now that you came to this kingdom, you need to build yourselves into the ideal plan that Jesus has for his citizenship, or for his citizens. So the theme this morning will be exactly this: developing your citizenship in Christ. And the question I want to answer with my points here will be very simple. How is our citizenship developed? How does that happen? What is that? What does that process looks like? So I will first mention that we are naturalized. Then I will say that we are made family. And third, I would say that we are made hosts of God himself. So that's the development of our citizenship. We are naturalized, we are made family, and we are made hosts of God himself. So first I want to talk about being naturalized. So verse 19 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You're no longer strangers. So see, my family, as I mentioned before, we were very welcomed in the United States. We don't have any complaints. We do have a church family that cares for us. We feel the love of God's people here. And most Americans we relate with are church related. So we have the best experience so far. I'm being very honest here. So, but still, we are strangers. We know that there are lots of things that in very casual, very common situations that we still don't know how to behave. There are situations where I go that I don't know where to put my hands. I have to watch everybody else because I know I am a stranger, and that's okay. Maybe one day I will know the culture so well that I don't feel like that anymore, but so far I still know that I am a very welcomed stranger, but that's what I am. We are foreigners. So the word for stranger here, paroikos, literally means someone that stands outside, as if someone was just outside there looking here, but they were not really allowed to come in. That's literally what the word stranger means in its original version. Now, see, Paul is saying you are no longer that. Because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, you come in and you're made just like everybody else. And all glory to God for that. So, we have a new citizenship. We were naturalized. I'm going to talk about More International during Sunday school. And More International is an organization that helps what we call the suffering church. I will tell a few stories later. And the suffering church for us is the church in areas of the world where there is a war going on. The church in areas where there is a natural disaster just happened. But mostly the persecuted church. So we have international bases where our missionaries live. And I'm the one to manage part of that. And this work is done to help local Christians to thrive during the sufferings that they face. So we hear a lot of tough stories. And because of persecution, especially in the Middle East and North Africa, there is something that we couldn't avoid. Some Christians were displaced because of their faith. It's not that they're weak or anything. We now understand them well. We imagine how that would be if that was our family. So just so you know, in Brazil, More already hosted. We're not doing the same kind of work in the United States. Our work here is more of a mobilization work, raising awareness. But in Brazil, we hosted over 220 Middle Eastern Christians who were persecuted. Oh, aren't they terrorists? No, they're the first victims of terrorism because they are Christians where they shouldn't be. So we received about 220 of them, beautiful families, some men with great stories, very smart people, most of them, and many of them from Syria, Iraq, Pakistan, those countries where the church is very, very persecuted. Now see, they go to Brazil. Our team is a pretty big team, well prepared to host these people. So we have social worker, we have psychologists because they're coming from the war and persecution and they need trauma care. We have a lot of things to take care of them and to make them feel accepted and at home and start a new life where God brought them. It is so hard for them, though, to feel like they are not strangers, because actually that's what they are. And then the work of the church is to say, you don't need to be sitting outside and looking through the window. You can come inside because in Christ we were made one. So this is exactly what Christ did to us. He granted us not only a visa to stay at the kingdom. It's not something temporary that someone can take away. No. He gave to us citizenship, which means we were naturalized. Naturally, you were part of the dark side before. You were part of the enemy's kingdom. All of us were. And then we were made part of his kingdom because he naturalized us, or he adopted us, and all glory be to God for that. So, first, we are naturalized. Second, we are made family. And verse 19 still says, you are no longer strangers, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So, see, there are degrees to this. A country can give a visa to foreigners and say, you can stay here, but you're still a foreigner. Or a country can say, you stay here, you're no longer a foreigner. You have the paperwork to be like everybody else, but you are on your own. This country, this heavenly country said, you're no longer a foreigner, You can step in, but you're not on your own. You're part of the family. We're not only allowing you to make a new life, we will walk with you through the new life. That's family. That's household. That's even stronger than just a citizenship. And that's exactly what Jesus did to us. And there are terms to this. If you look, verse 20 says, we are the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So there are two things here, two parts of a building, as we're talking about building the citizenship. It says the foundation is the apostles and prophets. See, in August, there will be a team from different churches of South Jersey. They will be going to Brazil to help us build a project there. More International has a project called the City of Refuge. We host Christian families that come from different places of the world, as I mentioned, but we don't have our own place for that so far, so we rent facilities for that. But God gave us a beautiful piece of land, 66 acres, so nice. And now we're building this property, which is a village where these families can start their lives in Brazil, just as this church had us refugees in this house right here. So we are going to do the same there. And these houses are to be built. So there's a team from different churches of South Jersey going there August 10. They're staying for 10 days just to build. And I've been in the middle of the negotiation, talking to the contractors here, volunteer Christian men who are going to donate their part of their summer for this, and my people back home. And one obvious thing that they negotiated is when we get there, the foundation needs to be laid. We want to build the houses, some houses, but the foundation needs to be all set up so that we come and do everything else. If we still need to lay the foundation when we get there, we're going to lose a few days. We don't have those days. So you guys do that part. Our part is to build on your foundation. So the foundation is so special, so important. And it's saying here, this household that we invited to be part of, that is built in us and for us, this household has as a foundation the apostles and prophets, which I would totally relate to solid biblical teaching. If you go to Brazil, you will see lots and lots of nominal Christians. And I'm sure it's the same here in the United States. Christians that they have the label of their citizenship, but the churches that are full this morning, today, all across this country, I'm really sorry to say that, but most of them, they're preaching what people want to hear, because it's easier to keep these kind of people in the church, because people don't want confrontation. People don't want to understand they're doing it wrong. So if I preach some types of things which are not the base of the foundation of the apostles and prophets, I'll probably have a whole lot of people follow me just because it's easier. So see, the apostles and prophets, according to the Bible, the solid biblical teaching that was laid for the church to exist, is the only option someone has to build a solid, healthy citizenship in Christ. It is built by the relationship with solid word, good theology, able to understand what's going on out there and to address, knowing with authority what Jesus told us to live. So there is no way we can build a citizenship healthy enough without this. Having said that, it says the foundation is the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus. And this is so related because we can only rely on what the apostles and prophets say, because all they said since the Old Testament is focusing on Jesus, is looking at Jesus. So if Jesus is not part of that, and see, recently, I'm not very sure about the numbers anymore, but I read this research from a serious Christian organization in the United States saying that less than 20%, if I'm not mistaken, of our pulpits today still talk about the plan of salvation and about heaven and hell and about basic issues such as justification, adoption, and sanctification. People just don't preach Christ anymore. Christ is not the cornerstone for most of what we call church anymore. And that's serious. There's no way we can build real citizens in the kingdom if Christ is not always passionately mentioned. He is the cause for all this. So we get so much into our church work, our ministry stuff sometimes. Sometimes our heart is even right. Problem is we tend to forget why we do all this. And the why is Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. And the biblical teaching of the apostles and prophets, that's what builds a true citizen in the kingdom. So how is the citizenship developed? We are naturalized, which honestly doesn't take much from us. It is given, graciously given, just handed to us like that. However, we are made family, and now it starts to say, to talk about building. We are made family, we are invited in, but we can only stay in as we develop our lives that way with the word of Christ and Christ himself, the foundation and the cornerstone, or the keystone, as some versions prefer. Our citizenship is developed as we are naturalized, as we are made family, and third, as we are hosts of God himself. And this is such a strong sentence. I think so. But that's exactly what the text says. It says, verses 21 and 22, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's what we are to become. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So it has a very special type of language here. It says, I am built a holy temple. And Pastor Mike is built a holy temple. And all my brothers and sisters here are built individual holy temples. And then these holy temples are made together, built together in verse 21, into one temple, the dwelling place where God comes in through the Spirit, in the person of the Spirit, to live in us individually and in us corporately as a church. Praise God. This is so beautiful. So see, this church is hosting us in a way that we couldn't imagine. Pastor and Susie comes. They come many times a day to see if we need anything. And it's so much love. It's so much care. And the house is so nice. And my kids are so happy. So praise God. That's so good. So when you are a host, you really need to know that you have what it takes to host. I was a host many times in Brazil. And my wife was always concerned. Like, do we have enough pillows? Do we have enough of this and that? How is this person going to feel? We had missionaries from Russia stay with us for at least 2 months in our house, in the very house we live. And what can we do to make their lives? They're going through a surgery. They needed health care. So how can we do it in a way they feel like they are in their own home? So this is the kind of concern that hosts have. And now the Bible says that I am host of the Holy Spirit. So do I have what it takes for the Holy Spirit to live here? Do I keep this clean? Do I keep this neat, tidy? Or, you know, it's one of those that I clean up once a year, Christmas, Easter. What kind of hosts are we? That's our citizenship. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And not only talking about our physical body, even though the Bible talks about that as a sanctuary, but I'm definitely talking about our lives as a whole. How, what kind of lives we live so that the Holy Spirit is honored and glorified as He lives within us. Amen. Citizenship. This is beautiful. We are made citizens. As I mentioned before, the work I do allows me to meet a lot of different people. And the best Christians I know, sorry for saying it that way, it's not a competition or anything, but the best Christians I know are persecuted brothers and sisters who stand firm and hold it together for the sake of Christ. And I have a friend, he became a very dear friend to me. His name is Mohammed, as so many Muslims are called, because Mohammed is the son of a sheikh, of a Muslim leader, pastor, whatever. And Mohammed was trained by his family and his mosque. He's Sudanese. So he was trained in the north of Sudan to become a missionary of the Islamic faith in South Sudan, where many are Christians. So he went there to live a few years, many years ago. And in 1994, he was there and he lived in a small guest house. And he was there to plant a mosque, to start Islamizing Christians. For him to Islamize Christians, he needed to understand how Christians think. So he made the dumbest decision in his life. He started reading the Bible. He found one of these Bibles, the Gideon's Bible, those ones in the hotel rooms. So he found one of those. And he started reading it, and all of a sudden he became a Christian, reading the Bible himself. Nobody led him to that. No altar calls. And then he went back home and told that to his father. And his father said, "I never want to see you again." And it's been that way since 1994. And his father not only denied to be his father, but started persecuting him, sending people to beat him up many times, trying to have him deny his new faith. And one day, I was in Sudan, actually, a few weeks before I got there, he had the toughest experience that is even hard to mention. 7 radical Muslims went into his house. They tied his kids, 3 kids in the bathroom. They spanked him and his wife. They tied him into a pillar and they made him watch them do something to his wife that I'm not to mention in public. That's the kind of experience, and all he had to do to have that over with was to deny his faith and to say, "I become a Muslim again." He never did. And when I asked him, from my sinful heart, when I noticed what he did, and I couldn't see any strength in me, sorry for confessing, to do the same if my family was the matter. I said, "How could you do that? How? where did the strength come from, even though I already knew the answer? He said, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I will not deny that. And that's what we are. And we have every day, now my friend is safe. He lives in another country. He unfortunately dreams of going back to Sudan. That might take a few years. But he is safe, strong, resilient, clean, offering the Holy Spirit the best household he can so that God dwells in him. Our Christian life, sorry for saying that, but it totally includes me. It's much easier. Our challenges are, I'm looking for a house. Oh, it's so hard. It's so expensive. And all that. Oh, this is the hardest problem you can think. Oh, no, it's not. It's dumb. What I really know is that I want to give Christ the better house I can so that he dwells in me. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for the power of your word. We know that if our hearts were changed this morning, it was not because of human words. It was because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So we recognize that. May yours be all the honor and glory. Forgive us our sins. Help us live as true citizens of Christ, being built in your likeness. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.